Okay, last Sunday, if you were here, my wonderful wife Vicki shared her testimony, and it was glorious. It was wonderful. Yeah, another round of applause. That's good. It was awesome. So if you...
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Thanks for putting that on also.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, it's up there if you want to hear it. It's on the podcast list. And it's powerful. And if you missed it, you really should go to AboundingJoy.com. AboundingJoy.com, that's our website. And you can either do /blog or you can just go to AboundingJoy.com and click on the podcast link over on the left there. And you'll see her podcast and you can listen to it. So I believe you ought to listen to it. I think God's going to use it to bless you.
I forward it to some people. I forward it.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Good stuff. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So God's using her, and I'm so glad she shared last week. Of course, what that meant is we did not look at the verses from the scripture passages from last week, March 30th lesson. That lesson was entitled, Don't Be a Slacker, and today's lesson is entitled, Exercise Financial Responsibility. And you can see how those are related. And they both are just taking selected verses from their topic from all over the book of Proverbs. So what I want us to do today is go back to some of these verses from last week and then move through them and maybe get to this week's and maybe not, but we'll see. But because we're jumping all over the book of Proverbs, and I thought it's going to take a lot of time for us to flip our Bibles to find those verses, I printed up a sheet so you'd have all the verses in front of you. Both, it should be printed on both sides, and you should have one of those in your hands now. Does anybody need a copy of that? Everybody got one? Great. Okay. And I printed the ESV just because that's what I use, or it's what I'm using. I don't always use it, but I'm using it today. And so let's start on the first page. You see the words, don't be a slacker, there at the top. And the first section has 11 verses, and it's entitled, Work Diligently. 13:4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. Now let's ask God to help us understand what we're doing here. Father, thank you for what's already happened in this class. Thank you for Don. Thank you for Mike. And thank you for the discussion we've already had. Thank you for what you're doing and answering prayers. And thank you for testimonies. Thank you for what you did through my wife last week. Thank you for the Veritas Club. Now, Lord, we want to turn our attention to your word and listen to you as you speak to our hearts through your word. So would you give us instruction? Would you help us to share what you want us to share? Would you fill us with your Holy Spirit and let this be a time of spiritual growth for all of us? Help us to learn things we need to know. Help us to learn how to share things with others that maybe others need to know. And we want you to use your word to bring yourself glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I think God's saying here, He created us, of course, and He engineered us to have certain needs and desires and drives. You know, He put that within us. And He also engineered it that we would attain those needs and those desires and those drives. We'd fulfill those through work, through hard work, through discipline, through energy, through effort. Well, of course, everybody has those needs. Lazy people have those needs too. Lazy people want those things too. They just like to have them without work. And all of us need to be careful here. I think under the right circumstances, any one of us can be susceptible to laziness. And I think that's especially true when our needs are already being met, when we're pretty confident we're going to have plenty to eat and we've got a roof over our heads and we've got clothing, and it's tempting at that point for many of us to be lazy. It's a very seductive sin, and we can make all kinds of excuses for it, and it can be a real huge problem when well-meaning people, and that could be us, try to meet the needs of other people that God intends for those people to meet those needs. Do you hear what I'm saying? We can get in the way sometimes of what God's trying to do in their lives. And unintentionally, we can even encourage the sin of laziness and dependency and so forth. So there's a lot to be praying about here. God's intention is to use those normal human desires to motivate all of us and the people we love to work. So in the New Testament, you know where I'm going, the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write, if a man won't work, neither shall he eat. I mean, God's very blunt about that. God intends for hunger to be a motivator to cause us to say, I got to work. I need to work. Now, I want to balance that real quickly. We all know there are people out there who cannot work. They would love to work. They can't. And in those cases, God says, that situation is very different. And you need to learn how to be generous. And you need to learn how to help these people and figure out how to help them meet those needs. But that can get very complicated, of course, because here maybe you have a man who says, well, you know, he's not willing to work. He's being lazy and making excuses. He could if he would. But on the other hand, he's got kids, maybe. And we're thinking, wait, those kids are suffering. Those kids are in trouble here. So how do we deal with that? I mean, God says something very strong to him in 1 Timothy chapter 5. He says, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he's denied the faith. And, these strong words here, he's worse than an infidel. Whoa. It's important to God that we work. And I don't know, you may have some reaction to this or input, but I suspect in cases like this, if the man's in the church, the men of the church need to get involved with this man and say, look, man, this is not okay. You got to wake up. You got to get serious here about getting a job. Maybe we can help you think that through. Maybe we can help you move in the right direction here. And based on what God says in 1 Timothy 5, if he just refuses, there comes a point where he would have to be removed from church membership. It's that serious. God says he's worse than an infidel. And of course, at the same time, we're trying to figure out ways to help the kids. You know, so that can be an awkward, difficult thing. A lot of possibilities there. There was a time, I think, in our nation when shame was a pretty good motivator. I'm not sure that it's as much of a motivator now for some people as it used to be. It's amazing, isn't it? But anyway, 14:23. In all toil, there's profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. And he said, work brings lots of benefits, and beware, it's easy to substitute talk for work. Most of us have been on jobs. We've seen it happen in our workplaces. Maybe somebody needed a job, and they got hired, and then they got fired and started moving towards poverty. Why? Because they didn't want to work. They just kind of wanted to stand around and talk. And God said, watch out, watch out, watch out. That's a danger. 20, verse 4. The sluggard does not plow in the autumn. He will seek at harvest and have nothing. And here, I think God's reminding us, not only is it important to work, but it's important we do the right thing at the right time. There's a timing involved here. In other words, I could work really, really hard at the wrong time, and then at the critical time get lazy, and that's disastrous. So timing is involved here. It reminds me of a New Testament verse in Ephesians chapter 5 where he said, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, then redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We have to take advantage of opportunities when God puts them there. If we put it off, they may be gone. You know, the time may pass. It may not last long. It says the same thing in Colossians 4, redeem the time. Romans 13, that knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And he's saying, be sensitive to timing. And I think at our age, I think most of us are getting tuned in, aren't we? I mean, you know, there's a time in our life, and some of us, we have some of this, or we wouldn't be here this morning. We have a certain amount of time, we have a certain amount of energy, we have a certain amount of health, we have a certain amount of strength, we have certain resources for that time. And we need to take advantage of those things in that time. Because at our age, we're kind of tuned into the fact that those things are slipping away.
We're fragile.
Yeah, we really are fragile. Those things are slipping away. And we're losing them. And so we have to use them to the fullest and not squander them. And Mike, that's what you were talking about a while ago. You know, these things that we have time for and energy for, and yet we will tend to squander it away if we're not careful. God says, watch out. There's a time when certain kind of things need to be done. 24:30. I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. And behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. I don't know about you. When I first read this passage, I think I read it a little bit wrong. You know, the first thing that comes to my mind is people who have yards that are not kept up very well. And maybe that's ours. but people whose houses maybe aren't kept up like they should be. And I know we live in a day when a lot of people take great pride and pleasure in working their yards. They spend a lot of time and energy on their yards and their house and their garden and landscaping and so forth. And it does take a lot of work to keep a yard looking good and a house looking good. And we need to make sure we put in the work necessary to make sure our house and property is kept up. There's no question about that. But somewhere in here there's a balance. And I don't think what God's got in mind here with that Solomon's writing here is he's not talking about a great looking yard. He's talking about provision. Did you hear that? He's talking about a man who's making a living depending on what happens in his field or depending on what happens in his vineyard. And his life depends on it. His family depends on it. His income depends on it. And so what's happening? Well, he's thorns and thistles. He's not taking care of those nettles. He's not taking care of those thorns. He's not taking care of those weeds. And so he's not got the crop. And the wall's broken down. What's that mean? Well, raiding animals can come in, or people, or thieves, or whatever. He's not, his vineyard and his field are unprotected and untended, and he says that's going to lead to poverty. It requires some work, some discipline to provide a living. And he says you got to be constantly involved. Look at 26:13. The sluggard says, there's a lion in the road. There's a lion in the streets. And as a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. And God's using humor to remind us that just as it is with most sin, it's so easy to rationalize laziness. When we want to be lazy, we can make up all kinds of excuses. And some of them are crazy, you know, just as incredible as being eaten by a lion. You know? And the truth is, if we give in to that laziness, there is a roaring lion out there seeking whom they may devour. but he's going to get us for being lazy, not for going to work. You know, so yeah, there's a danger. Watch out for the excuses. 28:19. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, and he who follows worthless pursuits will have plenty of poverty. So God's saying, you be careful about your priorities. It's tempting for some of us to spend a lot of time and a lot of energy on stuff that's just not going to make much difference in the long run. It's just kind of fun, maybe, and kind of interesting to us and pleasant to us. But in the long run, as far as counting for the glory of God, it's not worth much. And it's exactly what Mike was talking about. And we've got to continually evaluate that. Yes,
there's
sir?
There's so many worthwhile things out there. And you
yes.
see the ribbons on the back of cars to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's so easy to get caught up in those things that while they're important, they're certainly much, much less than God.
Yes. And we got to continually evaluate those priorities. What am I doing? Lord, is this where I'm supposed to be spending my time, my energy, my resources? Is this it? Yeah. And of course, you know, God gives us priorities. And of course, one of them is working for a living. But it also includes, as Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, that we ought to be thinking, how can my energy, my strength, my time be used for the glory of God? And what kind of worthless pursuits, as he calls it here, what kind of worthless pursuits are eating me up? We got to watch for that, guys. So let me ask you a couple of questions and let you speak to this. Let me ask this question this way. What do you think causes some people to be willing to work hard? I mean, where does that motivation come from?
Being taught as a child to work,
huh? I think you're right. Yeah, that's a big one. Being taught as a child, this is important. Given a strong work ethic by your parents and grandparents. Yeah, that's good. Anything else coming up?
Some people, there is a sort of an inherent trait that causes them to want to achieve and to set goals and be organized. And then in others, there's the sense of followership.
Yeah.
We as Christians, I think, know more about leadership than we do followership. But and there's nothing wrong with the fact it takes more to be a follower than it does a leader,
yes.
I think,
yes.
to follow properly. But the whole idea is that everybody has a contribution to make.
Mm-hmm.
You need leaders, you need followers,
mm-hmm.
but you don't need bench warmers.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Good word. Yeah. Yes, sir, don't it?
And I think we've seen both types. People who realize that there's a responsibility to yourself and to your family.
Yes.
To provide for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know.
Some people are really tuned into that, so they know, yeah, I got to do this. I got a family. I've got a responsibility here. So they are tuned in. Very good. And some people do it for money. Some people do it for esteem. Some people do it just because they enjoy it. They just enjoy hard work. And maybe that brings up another question we need to ask. Is there a balance here? I mean, is it possible for some people to be work too hard? I think maybe Alan was getting to that. But is it? I mean, is it possible? And if so, how would you recognize that?
Well, a type A personality just wants to do everything and be going constantly and not take time to stop and sit back here and rest your body.
Yeah, all kinds of people smiling and pointing fingers. Yeah.
You're right there.
All right.
Yes, she is.
So what are you
talking about? Yeah, and we love those type A. Well, sometimes we love those type A people. Sometimes they drive us crazy. But we love them because of what they get done. How can you recognize when it's going too far?
When you're so tired, you can hardly move.
Okay.
And when your family is neglected.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, and we need, if you happen to be that type A person, we need family members to say, watch out, slow down, back off, you don't have to do everything, you don't have to be in such a rush, ease up, you got other responsibilities here, you know, and our family members sometimes are hesitant to do that because they think, well, I'm sounding selfish, you know. Well, you're not selfish when you help a type A person or a workaholic realize, wait a minute, I'm overbalanced here.
There's the old story about the preacher that got a letter from one of his parishioners saying, I desperately need you to visit me. And it was signed by his wife.
Yeah, that's good. Yes, sir.
In addressing this thought of diligent work, now that it's yard mowing time again, I've got my lawnmower all squared away and did mowed last Wednesday, but
so you're saying anybody that feels conviction can call you and you'll give them something to do? Is that what you're about
to say? Well, what I'm saying is, I could have got a pair of scissors and sat down in the yard one blade at a time and clipped it off at just the right height. Now, that would be a whale of a lot of work. I never would be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you couldn't get done with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have really broken a sweat. I would have worked diligently, but I just didn't get the job done because it
Good
wasn't
point.
Working smartly.
Yeah, so learning how to work smart is important. Yeah. Good.
Good use of time.
Yeah. And sometimes our friends and family can help us with that too. They can say, I see you putting a lot of energy into something here. Maybe there's a better way to do this. Yeah. Good. Yes, sir.
Ken? With that lawn.
There you go.
You know, that kind of reminds me of a book that W read recently, Being a Mary in a Martha World.
Kind of the title tells it all, doesn't it?
The title
that's good.
Tells it all.
That's good. Yeah.
See, one more thing along that line, if I may take another minute.
Sure.
Churches can be guilty of that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Place resources and energy and sweat into certain ministries that aren't nearly as productive. You know, if God's not in it, they want to just increase numbers or raise money to build something.
Yeah. And I think the message there is for all of us, including in our churches, to back off every now and then and say, Father, help me to reevaluate the way I'm spending my time and energy. Is this what we're supposed to be doing? Are we on target here? Are we just all wrapped up in a bundle of energy that's not accomplishing anything worthwhile? Yeah, good work. Yeah.
Well, at the same time, Steve, I mean, there's a works issue there. It can be a dangerous thing about forgetting grace.
Yeah, thinking this is what pleases God. A lot of work.
Right. Everything we do is filthy rags.
Yeah.
But, so we got to strike a balance.
Yeah, and the work ought to be flowing out of a sense. God has redeemed me. God has saved me. I belong to Him, and He's got a purpose for me here, and I want to bless Him with it. You know, that's right. Yeah. All right. Well, I was going to ask you to give me some more common excuses that people make besides there's lines in the street, but I want to mention one of them because we're running out of time here. A lot of people don't work much, and they will lay it at the feet of personal depression. They don't feel good, they feel down, they feel discouraged, they feel depressed, and so they're not doing what they need to do. Now, I know this gets complicated, but I'm saying in many, many cases, The truth is that laziness and irresponsibility bring on depression. They cause depression many times. I'm not saying always. Many times when a person has been irresponsible, they start feeling bad about what they've not done, and they start feeling depressed, and then they don't feel like working, and so they're going on feelings, and it's just kind of a vicious cycle. I don't feel like working, so I don't work, but because I'm not getting anything done, I feel lousy, and it just kind of goes down and down. And the cure for that often is for a person to say, wait a minute, I don't feel like working. I feel awful, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm just going to do it. I need to just get busy and do what I need to do. And it may be housework. You know, I'm going to wash these dishes. I'm going to clean this house. You know, that kind of thing, even when we don't feel like it. And many times that will be a cure for depression, but there are lots of excuses for it. And then the one other thing that may be worth talking about briefly, and that is, how can we instill this? We've got kids and grandkids out there. How can we communicate this kind of healthy work ethic to them?
First of all, be an example.
Okay.
Don't be lazy yourself, but
don't be lazy. Don't be a workaholic.
So guilty of bailing our kids out. Mm-hmm. You know, there. Mm-hmm. Even in grade school, you see parents doing science projects for their children.
Yeah.
Or making excuses for the child's grades and jumping all over the teacher instead of making the child sit down.
Yeah.
You know, we're so guilty of those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we call it love.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, that's so true. That's good. Good word. Hope you heard her. But we do. We bail them out sometimes when we need to let them suffer the consequences. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, maybe our gifts make them dependent on us in some cases. So we can take away the motivations if we're not careful.
You think you're helping them, but
instead you're demotivating them. Yeah, get in trouble, call dad. You know, and to a certain extent, that's okay. I mean, we want to be there when they get in trouble. We want to call us. We want to help them, but we sometimes help them the wrong way. Yeah, yeah. And another thing we might do with them is encourage them to meditate on these Proverbs. You know, maybe have a Bible study with them. Let's see what God says about this. This is not just between you and me. This is God here. Let's talk about this. And maybe another thing we could do is figure out some ways to give them some things to do around the house and give them some rewards for doing some chores. You know, associate work with income. Yes, sir.
Funny you should mention that. Just yesterday, you've all met my two grandkids, Anna Vea and Zachary. Anyway, they're both being homeschooled, and Anna Vea seems to be more motivated. So to give them both motivation, I told them... I said, now I'm going to be checking on both of you. Now I want to see how you're doing, how diligent you are with your schoolwork, because what you're doing now is preparing yourself for your future, and you need to take it serious and apply yourself to that task. And I'm going to be checking with your mother to see how well you're doing. If you do well, I kind of put things out there, you know.
Dangle some rewards with it.
I will reward them. Mm-hmm. And one of the rewards I told them, we'd be going to a movie. And
God's Not Dead. Yeah,
the good one. Movie is a movie I had in mind.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, let's look at just a couple more verses here real quickly before we run out of time. The next six verses are entitled Work Smartly. Look at chapter 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief or officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. It's amazing, isn't it, how God's worked so many powerful lessons into His creation for us? And boy, these little ants are just incredible. He gave them an instinct to work hard and to be a great example for us. And He's saying, hey, check out these little guys. There's nobody cracking a whip over those guys, making them work. I just built them to work. And they're working. And they're just going after it. And we need to learn from that. God's saying, even if there's nobody standing there cracking the whip over you, get busy. Get busy. Get to work. God intends for us to be disciplined. And He gives us things in His creation to show us that. Chapter 10, verse 5, he who gathers in summer is a prudent son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. We've already talked about timing, but of course procrastination has ruined a whole lot of lives, not to mention bringing shame on families. And then I want to look at chapter 14, verse 4. I love this verse. Where there are no oxen, the manger's clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. And I think I love that verse probably because I'm such a messy person. Here's the deal. Oxen are messy. That's what he's saying. If you don't have any oxen, the manger will stay clean. You know, they're messy. But they're valuable. And for people back then, they were extremely valuable. And I think God's saying here, listen, there'll be times when you can't get things done without a mess. There'll be a mess. Sure, there'll be a mess. And there are people who hate messes so much that they just can't hardly stand the thoughts of doing something that's going to cause a mess. You know, everything has to be neat, tidy, clean all the time. And if we're built like that, we may miss opportunities to do something for the Lord that may be a little bit messy. So I think God's saying, you got to put up with a little bit of messiness here. Oxen make a mess. Yeah, you'll have to clean up some messes. That's all right. They get a lot done. I think it's true in churches too. Sometimes in churches, if we're going to really get things done for the Lord, there'll be some messes. Unfortunately, there'll be some messes. Maybe behind the scenes sometimes. There'll be some messes. It just kind of goes with the territory. And the goal isn't to never have a mess. The goal is to bless the Lord, to glorify the Lord, to do things that bring honor and glory to the Lord, to do things that represent Him well here in this earth. And if there's some messes that come along with it, well, we'll just clean up the messes the best we can. But we won't say, I don't want to do anything because I don't want to cause a mess. You know, messes come with the territory. It's just part of it. 21:20. Precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it. We have a huge industry in the United States, the advertising industry, whose goal is to try to do everything they can to get as many people as they can to devour resources as soon as we get them. And they're quite successful. And of course, that's part of the problem of this nation. I mean, we're in monstrous debt that it looks like there's no hope of recovery. Maybe changing the currency. I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen eventually. But we've all known people, maybe we've been there, who spent all they had and more and were desperately trying to just keep the payments going, you know, staying in debt. On the other hand, we've known people who are so incredibly stingy that they hardly ever wanted to spend anything and they put away a huge savings. But again, somewhere in there, there's a balance. And I just want you to think about that. How do we find the balance between spending money wisely and saving? And when does saving become hoarding? And we don't have time for a lot of discussion here, but you want to make a quick response to that. How can you find that? What could you do to make sure you don't go either way?
Stay in the Word and seek Jesus' wisdom for all decisions.
Yeah. Lord, please help me make the right decision here. There are many times when God wants us to give something, and if we're not careful, we'll say, well, I might need that later. You know, be careful.
We can also differentiate between wants and needs.
Yes.
Most of what we are in debt for is just a want.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly right. And there are many, many people who are, on the other hand, hurting their families, cheating their families out of maybe some good memories, creating bad memories instead of good memories because they're hoarding, you know. And so maybe, again, listening to family members who say, are we balanced here? You know, let's talk about this. Let's pray about this. Is this God's balance for us? And again, we need to help our kids learn how to make good financial plans. You know, we that's a responsibility. That's one reason we're still drawing breath, is so some of us can help younger people with this thing. All right. Well, we got to stop. Lord, thank you so much for this time we've had together. Thank you for the great fellowship you've given us. Thank you for the great time in your Word, fellowshipping in your Word. And I pray that we will continue to study these passages, to think about them, to meditate on them. If you want me to put together a podcast with some of the other verses, Lord, help me to get that done. And help us all to grow in skills, in practical skills that will glorify you in terms of our work ethic. Lord, we don't want to be workaholics. We don't want to spend a huge amount of energy on foolish things. Help us to be balanced. But Lord, we certainly don't want to be lazy. So help us not to be lazy bums. Help us to work and take advantage of the opportunities you've given us and the resources you've given us and the time you give us. And Lord, help us to pass this on to others that you bring into our lives, whether it's kids, grandkids, friends, family members, other people. Lord, help us to be wise and help us to know what to say, how to pass things on. Lord, maybe you want some of us to write some things down. Maybe you want some of us to make some recordings so that others can hear later on, even after we're gone. But help us, Lord, to be useful to you to communicate these truths. Thank you so much that you have saved us through the blood of Jesus and that we're redeemed and that as your redeemed kids, you've given us assignments and responsibilities, and Lord, we want to be faithful to do those things until we finally reach that time when we're with you and forever in new glorified bodies. And then we'll continue just to listen to you and let you lead and teach us and show us what we need to lead and grow even in through eternity. So thank you so much for the future you have planned for us. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you now. Pray you'd help us to be teachable and help us to listen well to the message and help us to worship you with all our hearts, with all our souls and mind and strength to love you and worship you in a way that brings you great glory in this service. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.